Welcome to another in a continuing series of Tecmatalk podcasts, where experts discuss manufacturing in Mexico and related topics.
Welcome to another podcast recorded by the Tecma Group of Companies on issues that have to do with manufacturing in Mexico. Today we have a topic that is, let's just say this particular podcast will be hot off the presses due to the fact that it has to do with a issue that is very, very important to the maquilador industry. Today we have with us somebody from Baker McKenzie. Baker McKenzie is a large law firm that is involved in many areas, the maquilador industry in Mexico being one of them. I'll let Luis Carbajo, who is a tax principal for the company, explain what it is that he does with the company and a little bit about the company to begin with.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me here.
Well, basically, Luis, if you'd give us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the company as well as the responsibilities that you carry out within the firm.
Thank you very much, Steve. Well, as you may know, Baker McKenzie is a law firm. We provide all kind of legal work, not only for maquiladoras, but basically for most of the multinationals doing business inbound into Mexico. We have a strong practice servicing the maquiladora needs out of our Tijuana and Juarez offices, as well as we have tax and transfer pricing capabilities in the Monterrey office. But also we provide wide range of other type of services, not only to maquiladoras, but also to other companies such as the oil and gas or the textile and the services companies. And we provide, specifically in the tax arena, not only legal services, but also all type of legal services, such as accounting, financial services, everything that any other full-service provider would render services to, except for the auditing of the financial statements.
Well, thanks for that little bit of an overview on the company. But today we're going to talk about something that's been really very, very prominent in the radar of companies that manufacture in Mexico already and companies that are thinking about manufacturing in Mexico. And this has to do with the tax reform proposal that was submitted, I believe, during the month of October by President Enrique Nieto Peña to the Mexican House of Representatives. Obviously, it was discussed there. It was passed up to the Senate. And, you know, there are some things that have happened that are a little bit on the definitive side at this point. Of course, you're going to give us precise information, but can you give us a little bit of background on the issue?
Yeah, well, as you may know, during the last year, when President Enrique Peña Nieto took over the executive branch, he received several proposals or recommendations from the OECD, the Organization for the Cooperation of Economic Development. Mexico is right now chairing the OECD in Paris. Former Minister of Finance of Mexico, Secretario Gurría, is now the General Secretary of the OECD. The OECD drafted several recommendations to Mexico regarding the necessity for Mexico to increase revenue, not to depend on oil and gas revenue from Pemex. So the recommendations were widely publicized, not only in the specific tax magazines or tax newspapers, but also in the media. And basically, for maquiladoras, the recommendation was to review and to revise all the tax incentives and all the privileges, as was drafted, that maquiladoras enjoyed for the last several years. That's one of the reasons the executive branch started to draft this specific tax reform proposal, aiming to get rid of many of the tax incentives and exemptions that the maquiladora enjoyed in the past. So that was pretty much the background for this. The specific provisions were dramatic, if you will, for the maquiladora sector, because if the original proposal would have been enacted, it would create even more harm to the maquiladora industry as such.
Okay, so basically where we're going to go over the course of the next few minutes is to get to the information as to where we stand today. Obviously, it's past diluted, and there are some other issues that are important with regard to it. But as regards that last statement that you just made, if it had gone through and had been enacted as was written originally, what kind of impact do you think it would have had on Mexico, the industry, its ability to attract new capital investment?
Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, we have been able to review the specific reform for maquiladoras. It creates a little more certainty, if you will, but the tax reform by itself gets rid of many of the tax incentives and advantages that maquiladoras used to have. It is important, perhaps here, just to stop a little bit and see what is the scope of the reform for the maquiladoras, because maquiladoras is a state-of-the-art term that perhaps for many of our listeners would not have the right connotation. If I may, I would want to just to clarify what is the impact for maquiladoras, but to some of the specific maquiladoras that are in the industry, because not all maquiladoras would have enjoyed the benefits, and therefore this piece of legislation would not have any dramatic consequences for this type of operations. If I may, just to clarify,
sure.
Maquiladora operation basically means that you have, as a non-resident company or multinational, someone in Mexico who is your dependent agent, if you will, is a subsidiary of yours, is a Mexican company organized and existing under Mexican laws that has a specific program secure from the Ministry of Economy, and that program would allow the maquiladora to import into Mexico goods and components on their temporary basis. That company would not have to pay any VAT at this moment. It's part of the changes, but at this moment, no VAT on the temporary importations, no customs duty.
Could I interrupt for one moment as far as the VAT or the value-added tax is concerned? Could you just explain that for our listeners? Some may not be familiar with it because obviously, in the United States, we don't have a value-added tax. So if you could clarify that term,
sure.
I think some of the listeners would appreciate it.
Yeah, well, basically, VAT is a specific tax on consumption. So if you are importing into Mexico, you are selling in Mexico, you are renting in Mexico, you are rendering services in Mexico, all these are activities because they are being performed in Mexico, they are subject to the VAT. And basically, there is a VAT which would allow you to credit the VAT against your input VAT. You may be able to credit your output VAT. So at the end of the day, the final consumer would be the individual or the entity paying for the VAT. So you would be able to credit the VAT throughout the productive channel.
Mm-hmm. So this reform was basically changing the relationship of the value-added tax to the maquiladora industry. Would that be a correct assumption?
It's one of the basic changes. There are other very important modifications in the maquiladora arena that would not pertain to value-added tax, but income tax.
Okay.
So if you could explain
that, we'd appreciate it. If you could explain those two things, those are the major points, correct?
Yes. Yes, okay. But basically, again, we have several definitions of maquiladora operation. One definition is, well, if you have a maquila program, you may be able to import goods and components, and let's put aside the VAT. But basically, from a customs standpoint, you would be able to import the goods and components and not pay customs duties and do not have to comply with many of the customs requirements. That's one definition. And then we have another definition for VAT, for value-added tax purposes. Basically, if you are rendering services under your maquiladora program, if you are exporting those services, you would apply the 0% rate on those services. So there is no additional cost for the client in the U.S. asking for the maquiladora to render services in Mexico. So these two benefits are not gone. They would remain, and they were not part of the discussions in Mexico. What it is happening here is that there are other type of maquiladoras who are Mexican companies who would have their maquiladora program, and the whole purpose of this maquiladora operation is to bring into Mexico machinery and equipment on their temporary basis, to bring into the country inventory to be transformed, to be manufactured or assembled with the machinery and equipment of the non-resident principal, and perhaps to have several employees of the non-resident principal directing the day-to-day operations of the maquiladora. So these expats would be the ones directing the company, deciding who to hire, deciding who to fire, when to use the machinery and equipment to direct the production and what have you. So Mexico is looking at this as a business cycle. Everything is being done in Mexico, and therefore Mexico should be able to tax the sale transaction, the sale that takes place once the maquiladora exports back the finished products and having the non-resident principal to make the sale abroad. That's exactly what Mexico is trying to do through a tax concept called permanent establishment. So basically, the maquiladora would create a permanent establishment, which is a taxable presence for the non-resident principal, again, because the maquiladora would be a dependent agent of the principal. It would have machinery and equipment of the principal, and with that machinery and equipment, it would be providing manufacturing or assembling or transformation services at the end of the day of this machinery and equipement with the assets, with the machinery and equipment kept in Mexico. And the sole purpose of this is to export 100% of the production back to the U.S. or back to abroad. Mm-hmm. And this creates a permanent establishment exposure. For many years, this permanent establishment exposure has been a headache for multinationals because we don't have, as any other country, clear rules of what income to be attributable to the permanent establishment. And therefore, many years ago, the maquiladora sector reached an agreement with the Mexican Tax Administration in order to avoid or have the non-resident principal not to be deemed to have a permanent establishment in Mexico in exchange for the maquiladora to comply with transfer pricing under certain specific thresholds. So if we go to the first big change in the industry, is that now whatever special treatments the maquiladoras would have, they would be aimed specifically for maquiladoras that may create a permanent establishment exposure for non-resident principals. What does that mean? Well, basically, maquiladoras that would have machinery and equipment of the non-resident principal, inventory of the non-resident principal, and transformation services would be undertaken to this inventory with the machinery and equipment of the non-resident principal with the sole purpose to export 100% of the production outside of Mexico. And basically, one of the original proposals was that 100% of the production of the maquiladora would have to be physically sent outside of Mexico. With the negotiations, it was possible to reach a consensus in the sense that maquiladoras now can use, as it is the case under the current rules, to use the so-called virtual operations, virtual manifests. So in this specific case, the maquiladoras Right now, they don't have to export physically the goods outside of Mexico in order to get the benefits, because they are making virtual filings of customs manifests, and this would continue to be the trend for the next year, under the 2014 tax reform. It's one of the achievements of the industry. Because otherwise, just imagine a maquiladora located in San Luis Potosí, for instance, who wants to send the finished products, let's say, to another maquiladora facility in Mexico City, because it's a semi-finished product. In order to qualify for the benefits, the maquiladora in San Luis Potosí would have to send 100% of the production to the border, and then the Mexico City maquiladora to import again the semi-finished products back to Mexico with all the problems in logistics and what have you. So the first issue here, the first big change is that maquiladoras would be able to apply virtual import and export manifests in order to comply with the definition of maquiladora operation in order to not to create a permanent establishment exposure for their non-resident principals.
So this was one of the things that in the original proposal, if it had passed as was originally written, what you just explained would not have been the case. There would have been a need to export such items to be re-imported again to get the treatment that would be favorable. Would that be correct?
Exactly. It's one of the achievements of the index organization, which encompasses all the maquiladora associations throughout the Mexican Republic. The index got a lot of meetings, not only with the executive branch itself, but also with congressmen. And at that meeting, many people in the sector have their voice heard in connection with the harm that this piece of legislation may have created if virtuals would not be longer available for maquiladoras in order to comply with their income tax obligations and not to create a permanent establishment exposure for their non-resident principals.
So just for those that are new to listening to this topic, INDEX is an acronym. Essentially, the organization is a group that is representatives of those in the maquilador industry, and they lobby policy such that the industry doesn't get harmed. So that not being enacted is mainly a result of the folks that are in this particular organization having made the effort with the Mexican government and lawmakers. Would that be correct?
Well, mainly, the index conducted the negotiations, but I'm fully aware of other companies that also did their homework. They had their own meetings with congressmen, with the executive branch on a private basis. But basically, those companies would have been also part of the tax committee of the index. So it was like jointly. Were joint efforts at the end of the day. There were many, many maquiladoras very, very worried about these modifications in the law.
And given the fact that the first provision had to do with the value-added tax, as you mentioned, the need to pay value-added tax on temporary imports for products that ultimately are going to be export, that would have tied up a lot of working capital, I would assume, and it had a financial cost attached to it. This is something that, again, has been put on the shelf until January of 2015. What about the income tax changes that were contemplated by this reform? Could you tell us what happened with respect to them?
Well, the new maquiladora provisions substantially eliminate all the income tax benefits that maquiladoras were enjoying for the last several years. Right now, we have three federal taxes. We have income tax, we have flat tax, which is called IETU for its Mexican acronym, And also we have the value-added tax. We have already discussed the value-added tax. Basically, again, the temporary importations on VAT would be postponed. We will discuss later on certain mechanisms in order to get this crediting of the VAT to be paid on the temporary importations to certain certifications that we're not clear of what would this encompass. But from an income tax perspective, income tax and flat tax perspective, the maquiladoras enjoyed a tax holiday or certain tax incentives under the Fox and Calderon's administrations, the former presidents of Mexico, and they paid basically an overall tax of 17.5% with deductions. Why am I saying deductions? Well, basically because the YETU, or the flat tax, which would be repealed, by the way, effective next year, under the flat tax, which was like an alternative minimum tax, taxpayers, aside from maquiladoras, would have to compute the income tax and the flat tax. The flat tax is based on a cash basis with no deductions. So basically, the flat tax was like an alternative minimum tax. If you would have higher income tax and the flat tax would be completely offset. But if the flat tax would be higher than the income tax, you pay income tax and the difference would be flat tax. This is not the case for maquiladoras. Maquiladoras would pay only 17.5% on a combined basis with deductions. This specific rate would be gone next year. So maquiladoras would have to pay 30% on a net basis. So this specific modification by itself represents a big, big hit to the maquiladora industry, because now it would be more expensive to manufacture goods and components in Mexico, because maquiladoras would no longer enjoy the 17.5% rate. Probably this is the most important issue for maquiladoras from an income tax perspective. There are others. For instance, this is not only for maquiladoras, but also for anyone else having employees in Mexico. Under the proposed legislation, if you are granting fringe benefits to your employees, provided that you comply with certain rules, the fringe benefits that you grant to your employees would be fully exempt. But since those benefits are fringe benefits, they are not taxed to the employees. So under the 2014 reform proposal, the executive branch is proposing a limitation on the deduction of the tax-exempted fringe benefits up to 53%. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you are making, let's say, a payment to your employees under the tax-exempt fringe benefit rationale of, let's say, 100, you would be only able to deduct 47% of the expense. The rest, the 53%, would not be deductible. But this will not be applicable for maquiladoras, because again, maquiladoras are not the same. They are not alike any other Mexican company. Maquiladoras recognize 100% of their deductions, and those deductions would have to be marked up to the non-resident principal. Therefore, they have a different tax treatment, and they should be treated differently, not the same as any other current Mexican operation. So that was one of the big changes also or advantages for maquiladoras at this stage.
Basically, I have a question going back to something you mentioned about the income tax. So prior to this reform passing, and this particular feature of the reform did pass, it's moving the income tax for companies operating in Mexico under the Maquiladora program from 17.5% to 30%. That's correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, the question I'd like to ask is that, is there a provision in the United States that enables foreign companies, i.e., in this case, U.S. companies, to claim a tax credit on taxes paid in another country? So in other words, is there kind of an offset because you can claim a credit on this in the United States?
That is correct. As long as you comply with certain requirements, in other words, that it is a tax enacted in the law, that you are not voluntarily making the payment, if you will, to the Mexican government, which is not the case because you are obliged under the law, you would be able to get the foreign tax credit in the U.S. of these taxes being paid by the maquiladoras. So, provided that you have profits in the U.S., you would be able to fully credit the income tax that you're paying right now under the 30% rate.
So basically, we have the IVA or the VAT tax postponed to 2015. We have the income tax. The changes are made, but you can talk to somebody, a specialist like yourself, to find out what kind of U.S. tax credits to offset that are available. What do you foresee happening between now and 2015 that might even perhaps change some of the things that have been negotiated thus far? Do you see things moving forward as planned, or might there be some further changes that occur between the first of 2015 and today?
The maquiladora sector is very powerful, but not because it is just powerful by itself, but because it employs more or less 2.3 million people directly, and perhaps 7 or 8 million indirectly. We have big cities, mainly located in the border zone, that live because of the maquiladora industry. I'm talking about Ciudad Juarez, talking about Tijuana perhaps, Reynosa, Matamoros. All these cities are very important for the Mexican economic sector, and I'm expecting to have further discussions by the index, by other important maquiladoras in Mexico, with the executive branch. It is necessary that the further review should be made to the specific rules because we perceive a big harm, a big hit to the maquiladora industry, just talking about the elimination of the income tax benefits, the possible VAT on the temporary importations, and there are other particular issues that may create also issues in the supply chain structures that Mexico has developed with maquiladoras. Basically, one of the big worries of the maquiladora sector is that the sale of goods located in Mexico between a foreign resident and a maquiladora will not longer be tax exempted as they are right now exempted. This is one of the big modifications to the VAT law as well. This specific sale of goods that would take place in Mexico with delivery from one maquiladora to another maquiladora with a virtual pedimentos, with a virtual filings that we just explained a moment ago, would have to be taxed at a 16% rate. And of course, it is not clear how this VAT at the 16% rate is going to be recovered. We have issues with that. It is not clear in the bill if the purchaser, in this case, the maquiladora acquiring the goods, would be able to credit the VAT. It appears that it may be the case, but it is not clear in the law, so we need to have clear rules in the days to come, and therefore I'm expecting to have a lot of discussions, a lot of lobbying activities in the days to come.
So basically, there are those issues that you just mentioned that are unclear right now, and part of the lack of clarity is due to the fact that definitive action on these particular issues has been put off until 2015. But just to recap for the listeners, as far as the process has transpired over the last few months, what things are written in concrete that they can count on to be in effect between now and 2015? What are the changes that have gone through, to recap, that people should obviously make adjustments to their businesses to be able to deal with?
Well, the number one issue, let me list all the possible, the changes that haven't already been accepted by Senate and that are going to be enacted sooner or later. Whomever has a maquiladora in Mexico would have to do a throughout review to see whether their operation would qualify as a maquiladora operation in order to protect the foreign principal from the permanent establishment exposure. That's number one. Number two, they will have to make sure, or they will have to realize that if your maquiladora operation creates a protection from a permanent establishment standpoint because it falls within the specific definition of as such under the new income tax law, the 17.5% rate benefit that they were applying is gone, and that they will have to pay 30% as of January 1st, 2014. From a VAT perspective, we have already stated that the application of the VAT rule requirement payment for VAT on temporary importations would be postponed for a year. They will have to work proactively in order to get the certification from the Ministry of Finance or the Mexican IRS as soon as possible in order to be able to credit this VAT on the temporary importations, which would be 16% of the customs value declared upon the importation of the goods and components into Mexico. And thirdly, perhaps the most important item here is to make a review of the current deliveries that perhaps a maquiladora would be undertaking in Mexico to see whether they would be subject to value-added tax in case that such delivery into Mexico or in Mexico would encompass a sale for value-added tax purposes. Again, the sales of goods located in Mexico between a foreign resident and a maquiladora will be taxed at the regular 16% VAT rate. So those are probably the most important items. There are other issues in connection with the shelter operations, perhaps, or with the consolidation taxation regime that may also be a hit for big maquiladoras, but it is not the generality, if you will, for the sector.
Well, you know, this is a very complex issue. It's got a lot of different facets, as I think most of the listeners have been able to ascertain from what's been said here. Luis, you know, this is the kind of thing that once you provide more information, obviously, that provokes questions. So if there are individuals that listen to this that have questions, would you be willing to speak with them? And if so, how would they get in contact with you to be able to converse with you on issues related to this?
Yes, we will be more than glad. You can reach me at my email, Luis, L-U-I-S, dot Carbajo, C as a cow, A-R-B as in boy, A-J-O, at, it's a single word, BakerMackenzie.com.
Luis, I want to thank you.
More than glad.
Yeah, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just wanted to thank you because this is something that we've had a lot of questions about at the Tecma Group, and I know that other companies that do the same kind of business that we do have been receiving a lot of questions and interest related to it. So I really want to thank you for taking the time today to speak with me to shed some light on some of this and to make yourself available to people for further questions.
More than glad, Steve. Thank you very much, and thanks for the invitation.
Thank you for listening. Sign up to receive all Tecma content through social media and RSS feed. Visit www.tecma.com.